Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Chagiga is daf Zion. We're back. We're on the very bottom of Vav Amud Aleph. We're towards the bottom of the Amud. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf Delores Echneshmas, Lois Lupin Zaltzman. Okay. A lot of our discussion today is going to revolve around the 24th parak of Shmos, found at the end of Parshas Mishpatim. I'll come back to that in just a moment. The reason why we're going to speak about it is because we're talking about how much money one should spend when visiting the Beis HaMikdash on Yantiv. There's a mitzvah of Alil HaRegel. You have to go up to Yerushalayim every Yantiv. And for the men, you have to bring two karbanos. One karbon is what's called an olas. There are three karbanos in total. I'll get to the third karbon in just a moment. But for the men, there are two karbanos that one needs to bring. One is the olas re'iyah, meaning for the complementing the mitzvah of Alil HaRegel, going up to Yerushalayim. Have to bring a carbon olah. And then the second carbon one has to bring is a chagiga. Chagiga is a shlamim, which means that it's not totally burnt on the mizbech, but rather only a portion of it's burnt on the mizbech, and the rest of it is going to be eaten by parts of it by the kohanim and parts of it by the owner. And that's what's called the shami chagiga. A discussion that goes all the way back to the first Mishnah on our Masechta is how much money should spend on each of the carbonos. So Beisham and Beisal have an argument in terms of what is the minimum amount that one needs to spend. Beisham's position is that you should be spending more on the Ola than on the Shlamim. And Beis Hillel says just the opposite. You should be spending more on the Shlamim than on the Ola. Rashi points out all the way back in the Mishnah, we're going to see in today's Daf and Daf Zion, that these minimum amounts are not min HaTorah. The Torah does not mandate how much we should be spending on the Karban. There is no Shir min HaTorah. This is a rabbinic requirement. So the Chachamim, Chazal, get this requirement from where? That's the question. The Gemara basically today is going to provide an answer. Yesterday's daf, we went through a brisa on Vav Amud Aleph. The brisa has a back and forth between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in terms of where does the Torah put more of its attention and more of its focus? On the Ola or on the Shlamim? And based on that, so the result is which one deserves more of our attention, which one deserves more of our financial resources? Should we be spending more on the Ola or on the Shlamim? Good. That is all yesterday's daf. We should have finished yesterday's daf yesterday, but we are... So let's take a look now at the Pesukim in Perek Chaf Dalet. Now, I told you structurally, Chaf Dalet, an interesting Perek in Chumash, where it describes Nasa V'Nishma, right? We will do and we will hear. It basically describes us at Har Sinai. Now, that's strange, because Har Sinai was already been described back in Parshas Yisro, one Parsha earlier. Approximately five prakim earlier, four prakim earlier, back in Perek Chaf. So that is Maamad Har Sinai, right? Perek Yutes is basically all the preparation up until Maamad Har Sinai, and Perek Chaf is the Aseres HaDibros. That's back in Parshas Yisro. Then Mishpatim is a lot of civil law, one after another, and then at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, another description of Moshe going up to Kadosh Baruch Hu, together with Aaron, Nadav, and Avihu, 70 elders of the Jewish people, and Moshe goes up by himself to meet a Kadosh Baruch Hu. We spent a lot of time in Masechta Yuma. I know this is going back some time. But we spent some time back in Masechta Yuma giving a description of when exactly this occurred. We are right now going to assume, Rashi says it on Chumash, and the Gemara basically says it, and Rashi says it on our Gemara, straight out, we're going to assume that this Perek Chaf Dalet is occurring before Maamad Har Sinai. Now that's not strange, that's not unusual. In Muktam Mumucha B'Torah, there's no chronology in the Torah, so it's possible. We are going to be learning that this Perek is going to go back to Maamad Har Sinai, and therefore the assumption is that this is pre-Sinai. That these events in Perek Chaf Dalet are pre-Sinai. Now what takes a lot of our attention for today is going to be the fifth pasuk in Perek Chaf Dalet. I didn't read the pasuk inside yesterday. Let me do so today. So the young of the Jewish people, Nare B'nei Yisrael. It's a strange expression. You remember back in Megillah, early in the Masechta, so when they were instructed to translate the Torah into Greek, right, the Septuagint. So one of the Gemara cites a number of examples of pesukim where when the Chachamim got to that pasuk, they said, let's give an alternative explanation to the pasuk, meaning not the simple pshat, because the simple pshat just doesn't sound right. Okay, there are many ways to explain the Torah, Shivim Panim LaTorah, but in terms of the translation of the Torah into Greek. So the Gemara says it was a miracle that they all agreed that we're gonna present to the Greeks one translation. So this is one of the psukim where they gave a unconventional pshat, not unconventional, but just. I'm going off of memory, forgive me, but I think the Gemara over there says that instead of saying the word nare, translating that into Greek, they said zatute, which basically means dignitaries. Okay, so, because the pasuk on its face value sounds strange. The young ones of the Jewish people offered karbanos. What does that mean, the young ones? Okay, anyway, I digressed. Vayishlach ez nare b'nei Yisrael vayelu alos v'izbichuz v'achim shlamim la'ashem parim. Okay, and basically, we're having a confrontation with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, not a confrontation, but we're seeing a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're hearing Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? Basically, I'll show you Rashi later today. Re'iyah, meaning to the best of our understanding, we saw a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and so therefore, what is required? Kabanos. What kind of kabanos were brought? So vayelu olos vayizbuchu zvachim shlamim. So the simple pshat of the psukim is we brought ola and we brought shlamim. Good. That's Perich of Dalet Pasukei. Let's go back now to our Gemara. Now, if you remember yesterday, we had a braisa on Vav HaMadal between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in terms of which deserves more of our attention. Does the Shlamim deserve more attention, or Ola deserve more attention on the Yantiv? And there were each one of them had multiple arguments. Each one had two arguments. The Gemara presented both of the arguments. I'm not going to go over it again right now. And then the Gemara went over, after quoting the braisa, the Gemara then went over the response. How would Beis Shammai respond to the two arguments of Beis Hillel, and how would Beis Hillel respond to the two arguments of Beis Shammai? So what I'd like to do right now is just revisit the last give and take that we saw yesterday in the Gemara, and that is Ubeis Hillel Maishna Chagiga Diyeshna Lefnei HaDibor. So in the Gemara, I'm in Vav Amud Aleph, we're about 10 lines from the top, ten lines from the bottom of the Amud, and we're going to start again with the words of Beis Hillel Maishna. It's the first words on the line, Ubeis Hillel. Now for Beis Hillel, now remember, Beis Hillel says more money spent on the Shlamim than on the Ola. That's Beis Hillel's opinion, which obviously is the accepted one. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's go now to the pre-Sinai moment, meaning Perich of Dalet. And the Gemara says, So Rianami Ksivayilu Olos. But the Gemara now presents what seems to be a very simple question to Beis Hillel. In the very same pasuk where it mentions how Shlamim were brought before Sinai, so wasn't it also Ola as well? So how can you weight the Shlamim heavier than the Ola if you see that they're both were both pre-Sinai? So Kasavri Beisol, Ola Shikri Yisrael Be'midbar, Ola Stamid Havai. So the Gemara says, the Ola mentioned over there, that's not an Ola specific to Re'iyah, seeing a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That Ola, that's a Karban Tamid. And what Beis Hillel is arguing is that they were offering the Karban Tamid prior to Maamad Har Sinai. Okay, strange, meaning usually, and the Rambam says it straight out, that the mitzvahs are given at Sinai. Anything we practice beforehand is not a formal mitzvah. But Beis Hillel is arguing that even before Sinai, we were given the Karban Tamid, and that's what the pasuk is relating. So therefore, in response to revelation at Sinai, so according to Beis Hillel, what carbon was brought in response to revelation? Only one carbon, Shlamim. And what's Beis Shammai's position? Oh, we totally disagree. We say that in Perich Chavdal, Pasuk Hey, when describing both a Shlamim and an Ola, they're both in response to revelation. We saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we bring Ola and Shlamim. In fact, please take a look at Rashi over here. Rashi says, right, Ola's Re'iyah Havai. It was Ola's Re'iyah, short Rashi. Al Shem Vayechazu Asalokim. Meaning Rashi says, we saw a Kadosh Baruch Hu. What happens when you see a Kadosh Baruch Hu? You bring a carbon. That's basically the idea behind, and in other words, that's really the theme of our entire Masechta. Right, you go, or at least what we've been discussing now for almost a week. You go up to Yerushalayim, you go to Yazara, you go to the Temple Mount, you're in the Beis Hashem, you see the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, to the best of our understanding, we have like a mini revelation. So what do? You bring a carbon. Carbon Ola. Carbon Shlamim. So Beis Shammai says that's exactly what happened to Maamad HaSinai. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of where we got to yesterday. And now let's pick it up from here. Amar Abaye. So now what we have find ourselves in is in the middle of a basic machlokus. The larger machlokus is whether or not what do you have to spend more money on, the shlamim or on the ola? But now, as we see, collateral of that machlokus, an offset of that machlokus is that when the Jews were at Mamad Har Sinai and they were right before revelation, what carbon did they bring? So according to Beis Hillel, the answer is that they brought only a shlamim. There is an ola mentioned over here, but that's the ola's tamid. So basically, according to Beis Hillel, they only brought shlamim. And what about according to Beis Shammai? They brought shlamim and they brought ola. Amar Abaye. Beis Shammai, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yishmael, Kulu Sri Lahu, Ola Shekiru, Yisrael, Bemidbar, Ola Sri Yahavai. So Abaye does this all the time. I'm going to string Tanaim together. So I'm going to give you a group of Tanaim who hold that the carbon ola that's mentioned over here in Perek Chav Dalet is Ola Sri Yah. Okay, including that list is Beis Shammai that we just went over. In addition to Beis Shammai, also Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yishmael, and Beis Hillel, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yosef, Galilu Kulu Sri Lahu Ola Shekiru, Yisrael, Bemidbar, Ola Tamid Havai. And then I'm going to show you a list of Tanaim who all agree that no, the carbon ola mentioned over here in Perek Chav Dalet is not relative to the Re'iyah, to revelation, but it has to do with Tamid. So now we're going to do this. We're going to go over the list of Beis Shammai. This will take us to the rest of Daf Vav Amud Beis, and that is, we're going to see each Tana taking a position on this issue. So now, let's go number one. Beis Shammai Hadamaran. Oh, good. So Beis Shammai's position, that's easy because we just went over it. That when mentioning the Ola is the Ola's Re'iyah. Rabbi Yishmael D'Tanya, so now we're up to Rabbi Yishmael. Well, okay, did we skip? Right. In other words, in the list that was given, we had Rabbi Elazar. So, right, so the Bach flips Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yishmael, and now we understand why. Because in the Gemara's presentation, first Rabbi Yishmael, then Rabbi Elazar. Okay. D'Tanya Rabbi Yishmael, Omer, Klaus, Nemer, B'Sinai. Rabbi Yishmael says, here's how the Torah was given. This is, to me, interesting. The Gemara now is basically going to go over how the Torah was given to us. Meaning, in one presentation, or in stages. Rabbi Yishmael believes stages. Klalos Nemer B'Sinai. What happened to Mamad Har Sinai? We got klalos. We got the generalities. We did not get every specific mitzvah in the Torah. We got basically an outline of the Torah, if you will. Upratas Ba'al Moed. And then what happens is that after Mamad Har Sinai, while HaKadosh Baruch Hu was speaking to Moshe and Ol Moed over the next 40 years, so then the details were filled in. Meaning the outline was filled in. That is Rabbi Shmuel's understanding of how the Torah was given. Take a look at Rashi. Top Rashi in Vav Amud Beis. Rashi writes, Mishuhukam HaMishkan, once the Mishkan was set up, which, by the way, was nearly a year after Mamad Har Sinai. Mamad Har Sinai took place on the sixth day of Sivan. I know that's controversial. Right, some say the seventh. Okay, fine, but the sixth day of Sivan, right, that's 50 days after they left Mitzrayim. Right, Omer. Sfiras HaOmer. And then, when was the Mishkan set up? About 8 months later, meaning the first day of Nisan of the second year. So Rashi says that's when the outline started getting filled in. The Dibur Emel Me'ala Perochis Sham Pirush La'akasu Kidichti Vayikra El Moshe Vayidaber Hashem Eilav Mo'al Mo'ed La'Leimor Uvesefer Taras Kohanim Dainu Vayikra Nisparsh Kol Alachas Karbon V'chein Dvarim Harbei. Basically, the way Rashi sees it, according to Rabbi Yishmael, this is an explanation of Rabbi Yishmael, that basically, what happened to Mamad Har Sinai? Generalities. And then, the third book of the Torah, Sefer Vayikra, those are the details. And when were those details given to Moshe? When the Mishkan was set up. And when Moshe sat down with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and they had a one-on-one learning the details of the Torah. Okay, that is Rabbi Shmuel's version of how the Torah was presented. Rabbi Kiv Amar Klaus approach this number B'Sinai, Venishim Ba'ol Amod, Venishtasha Barvas Moach. And Rabbi Akiva says, no. The Torah was given both generalities and specifics all at Mamad Har Sinai. All at Sinai. Right? Maybe not exactly at Mamad Har Sinai, meaning not a revelation, but while Moshe was up there for 40 days, so he got everything. He got the entire Torah. Repeated in Ol Moed, meaning in the Mishkan, and Nishtal Shalu, and a third time at Arvas Moach, which we just on this in this last week's parsha, I'm sorry. Period. Okay, that's a machlokus between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. Now, what's it? Remember, we're now in Abaye's position. His thesis for today, which is that a number of Tanaim feel that there was that the Ola mentioned in Perek of Dalet is not the Olas Tamid, but rather Olas Riya. And now Abaye is about to construct his argument. And here's Abaye's argument. Look, according to Rabbi Shmuel, how was the Torah given? Sweeping generalities, and then the specifics were filled in a later point in time. So Abaye says, look, that means that when a Kadosh Baruch Hu taught us about every day you have to bring a carbon, no details, just there's a thing called the carbon Talmud, you're going to bring it every day, but we were given no specifics in terms of how to bring it. Now, what are the specifics? The Gemara here just gives a couple of examples. Hefshet nituach, you have to flay the animal, you have to cut the animals into pieces. Okay, in other words, there's a specific way in terms of how it's done. But that wasn't given until later. And so Abaye's argument is that, according to Rabbi Shmuel, how can it be that at one point we brought the carbon tamid without knowing how to do it, we just kind of threw it up on the Mizbeach, and then at a later point in time, we went through the after we learned about Hefshet Nituach, then we did it, quote-unquote, correctly. Abaye says that's inconceivable. So because it's inconceivable, so therefore it must be that the Ola mentioned over here in Perek Chavdalet is not the Karmat Tamid. It must be the Ola Sriya. Okay, that's Tana number two. And now Tana number three, Rabbi Elazar de Tanya. We have now a third Tana who also says that the Ola that mentioned over here is not the Karmat Tamid, but rather Ola Sriya. See the Bryce inside. Ola Tamid ha'asuya b'Har Sinai. The Ola Tamid which was literally done at Har Sinai. Rabbi Elazar Omer, ma'asen emer b'Sinai, v'hiatzma lo karva. Rabbi Elazar says that its performance was explained to us at Har Sinai, but we didn't actually do it until later on. Rabbi Akiva Amar Karva Veshuv Lo Pascha, and Rabbi Akiva, consistent with this point he made earlier, no. At Mamad Har Sinai, what do? We started bringing the Karban Tamid, and we never stopped. It's Karban Tamid, it's every day. Elamani Mekayim Azvachim Amincha Higashtam Liba Midbar Bim Shana Beis Yisrael. What about the Pasuk Anamos? The Pasuk Anamos makes it sound like that we didn't offer karbanos in the desert. So Shifter Shalevi Shlo Abdu Avodah Zorah Heine Kirvo Osa. So the Gemara says in response to that, yeah, generally speaking, the Jewish people did not offer karbanos in the Midbar. And interesting, why not? Because we were over in Avodah Zorah. We're idolaters. Okay. It was one time... I'm defending the Jewish people right now. It was one time, right? We apologized. Moshe davened on behalf. Okay, but it sounds like from our Gemara that it was the Jewish people of the generation of the desert weren't excused, weren't totally forgiven, and the Levim were the ones who brought it. Anyway, but we can go off on a tangent right now, but again, now you see a third time who's of the opinion that the carbon ola that's being described over here in Perek of Dalet is not the Olas Tamid, according to Rabbi Elazar, but rather it's the Olas Riyah. Okay, three Tanaim are all of the opinion that the carbon ola that's offered in the in Perek of Dalet is Olas Riyah, not the Olas Tamid. Now the other three Tanaim, Beis Hillel Hadamar. Beis Hillel says that the ola is an Olas Tamid, and how do we know that? The Gemara says we saw that earlier already, so the Gemara says we don't have to revisit that. And now two other tonight. Rabbi Kiva Name Adamar. Now what about Rabbi Kiva? The Gemara says we saw that one already as well. Rabbi Kiva on two brises said that at Maamad Har Sinai we were given all the specifics and therefore the carbon tamid was offered when? At Maamad Har Sinai. And from that point forward, never stopped. And finally, Rabbi Yosef Lili de Tanya. And the Gemara now quotes a third brisa, a third Tana and another brisa. Rabbi Yosef Lili Amar Shalosh Mitzvos Nitzav Yisrael Ba'olah Samo Ragel. So there are three mitzvos where the Jewish people are three mitzvos that the Jewish people commanded every time we make Alila Regal. Riyah v'chagiga v'simcha. Okay? The three karbanos. Simcha, it's funny. We haven't really spoken about simcha much yet. Okay, that's coming up in our Masechta. But yesh b'riyah shem b'shtem v'yesh b'chagiga shem b'shtem v'yesh b'simcha shem b'shtem. Now there's a unique feature to each one of these karbanos in the Gemara, and the Bryce is going to go over what is the unique feature to each one of these karbanos. So yesh b'riyah shem b'shtem sh'ari'iyah ola kula l'gavo. So first of all, of the three karbanos that we bring every yantiv, so the riyah is notably different than that. It's an ola. The other two are shlamim. Good. Mashen kem b'shem. Yish b'chagiga mashen b'shem shechagiga yeshna lefnei adibor. And what is noticeably different about the chagiga we were offering the Chagiga before Har Sinai. Oh, good. Let's think about that for a moment. We were offering the Chagiga before Har Sinai. According to Beis Shammai, we also offered the Ola before Mamad Har Sinai. So good, that's exactly the point. This Tana, which we know is Rav Yosef Glili, though the opening words of the Braisa, this Tana is of the opinion that only the Shammai Chagiga were offered before Mamad Har Sinai, and so therefore when he looks at Perek Chavdal, Pasuk Hey, so how does he understand the word Ola? Tamid. That's a reference to the Karman Tamid, not a reference to the Ola Thriya. And finally, just to finish up the Braisa, I'm sorry, Mashem B'Shtehem, and Yesh B'Simcha, Mashem B'Shtehem, Sheha Simcha, No Hagis Ba'anashim, B'Nashim, Mashem B'Shtehem. And what makes a Simcha different? In that that's obligated for men and women. The Olas Riya and the Shamei Chagiga are only for men. Simcha is both incumbent upon men and women. Period. Ad Kan. Okay, so we have now a biased thesis statement, proven with a lot of Braisos. We have three Tanaim who say that the Ola before Mamad Har Sinai was the Olas Re'iya, the Shammai, Reb Elazar, and Reb Yishmael. Okay, I'll have it straight for about 15 good seconds. So these are good 15 seconds, as long as I have everything straight. On the other hand, we have three Tanaim, says Abaye, who are of the opinion that the Ola mentioned in Perek Chavdal Pasuk Hey is not a Olas Re'iya, but rather the Olas Tamid. And including that list is Beis Hillel, Rabbi Akiva, and now Rabbi Yossi Haglili. Good. Now the Gemara just challenges one of the points. Rabbi Shmuel Maitama Kamuk Maslaka Beis Shammai. Now in Abaye's thesis, where did he put Rabbi Shmuel? He aligned Rabbi Shmuel together with Beis Shammai. Gemara says, did you have to do that? So Isak Adaka Ola Shikra Visol Bemid Balos Tamid Havai Mika Midi Mika Olo Bayev Shemini Tuach Ula Visol Bayev Shemini Tuach. What was the major argument of Abaye in terms of aligning Rabbi Yishmael with Beis Shammai and Rebbe Elazar? So the Gemara says the argument was, well, how could it be? How could it be that you're offering the Karban Talmud, not knowing any details, you're kind of just throwing it up on the Mizbech because we don't know any more details, and then later when we learn the details, then we did flaying of the animal, cutting up the animals. That was Abaye's argument. Now the Gemara is basically going to say, I don't know if that argument is so conclusive. Gemara says, look, let's for a moment look at the position of Rabbi Yossi Haglili. He clearly is of the opinion that the Tamid, the Ola that's mentioned over here, is a Tamid. Good. We made that point just a couple of lines earlier. And meanwhile, according to Rabbi Yossi Haglili, did they know about Hefshet v'Nituch originally? No. So, and meanwhile, according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, we know that the carbon ola that was the Ola's tummy was offered already before Sinai, and we also know that according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, there wasn't Hefshet v'Nituch. We took the animal, we just threw it up onto the mizbech. Honestly, for lack of better knowledge, we didn't know otherwise. And then when the Mishkan was set up, and then when Moshe was explained all the halachos. Oh yeah, when you bring the Tamid, you have to first flay the animal, you have to cut into pieces, and all the other details involved with the carbonola. So, the major argument that Abaye was given on behalf of Rabbi Shmuel, the truth of the matter is, it's not such a great argument. The Gemara points out, Rabbi Yosef Glili obviously didn't buy into that argument. So the Gemara's answer, Gemara's response is, Samei Mikan Rabbi Shmuel. You know what? Point very well taken. So Abaye's thesis still is good. We're just going to simply remove Rabbi Shmuel from the list. And whatever. And you could put Rabbi Shmuel on either side of this discussion.
The Ola Sriya didn't have any details? They were the same thing?
Right. But at least, I guess, from the Gemara's perspective, it's not as jarring in that it was a specific carbon for one time. Correct. But the Ola's Tamid, which is a mitzvah ladaros, how could they have offered it one way and then changed the way that was brought? That's basically the Gemara's argument, which the Gemara then finally admits it's not a conclusive argument. Why Rav Chista Haikra Echiksi Vaishlach Esnari Ben Yisrael? Oh, I'm sorry. Just brief introduction before we start with Rav Chista's question. Okay, you remember back when in Yuma. The Gemara had an interesting discussion over there in terms of how to read certain psukim. If I remember correctly, I'll look at Tosfos. Yes, five. If you remember, there are five psukim that we went over in Yuma, where quite frankly, we're not really sure how to punctuate the psukim. All right, one of the challenges in the Torah, anyone who learns from the Torah, you know this, one of the challenges from the Torah is that the Torah has no punctuation. Where does the punctuation come from? Misora, it's part of the tradition. Okay, it's a Rashi and Megillah that describes it as being Halacha Moshe Misinai. Right, goes all the way back from Torah's Moshe. Although from the discussion we're about to have right now, maybe that's not perfectly clear. But anyway, so a question of punctuation. We are going to have that discussion right now regarding again the pasuk of the day, which is Perek Chavdal Pasuk Hey. I'm going to read the pasuk inside. Vayishlach is Narei Bnei Yisrael. So the again simple pshat, the young of the Jewish people. Vayalu Olos, and they offered Olos. Now I know that I'm going to pause at that moment in the pasuk. Why do I know that? Because again, I remember laning. Every now and then I do it. So under the word Olos, there's the trap over there is what's called an Esnachta. Esnachta is the hardest pause in the middle of a pasuk. Okay, so that's what we have under the word Olos. Rashi's going to point out that that's, he had that as well. Not clear from the Gemara whether or not that's the correct trap. I'll come back to that in just a moment. So we'll pause there. Vayulu Olos. Vayizbechu Zvachim Shlamim LaHashem Parim. And then we offered, in addition to that, Zvachim Shlamim. Okay, that's how I would have read the pasuk. The Gemara says, Rav Chista asked the question, is that the correct way to pause in the pasuk? By Rav Chista. And vayalu olos, what we're going to do now is we're going to put a pause over there. And now the word kvasim is not in the Torah. This is the Gemara's understanding of what olos mean. Olos is a reference to sheep. Okay. Vayizbechu zvachim shlamim lashem parim. So is it that we're going to put a hard pause after the word olos? Olos is one category, one kind of animal, and the Gemara ostensibly assumes that it's sheep. Okay, doesn't have to be, but generally it is. Odilma idvidi parim. Or no, maybe the parim is going on everything mentioned in the pasuk. My nafkamina. Gemara now asks an important question. Who cares? and that is a very important question. In that, let's take a look at Tosis over here. My nafkamina, who cares? Klomer, my dahavahava. Meaning the parts of the Torah that we focus on are the parts of the Torah that are instructive. Meaning, history, of course, is important. We need to know the history. The Ramban and Chumash says that it's a mitzvah to know our history. But when all said and done, for us, the primary purpose of the Torah is instruction. So anything which is going to tell us what to do, that deserves our attention. Anything that tells us what once upon a time happened, it's not unimportant, but it's not something we're going to focus on. So the Gemara over here is bothered. We're asking the question now of how to read the pasuk of what they did at Mamre Sinai. It's not unimportant, but l'may nafkamina, meaning give us a practical difference in terms of instruction. So the Gemara says, I'll give you two nafkaminas. So Marzutra Amar Lepisuk Thomas, Marzutra says, okay, first of all, how do you read the pasuk when you're learning from the Torah? Pisuk to Amen, meaning what's the trap going to be? So if you understand that the word parim at the end is going in everything, we're not going to put a hard pause under the word olos. It's going to be a different trap. Now, basically, you hear what I'm saying now? The Gemara is entertaining that there may be a different trap underneath. That's one possibility. Now, if the Gemara is entertaining, it certainly sounds like, certainly, that there wasn't one uniform trap to the Torah. That's what it sounds like. Rashi points out that if you look at our Chumash, meaning not the Sefer Torah, you'll of course notice that we have the Asnachta under the word Olos. So our Torah with our chop is the same, at least in this example, is the same one that Rashi was looking at. Or Rashi says could be an Asnachta, could also be Zakev Katon. Again, for the laners out there, you understand what Rashi is talking about. That's one nafkamina in terms of how to read the pasuk with proper trop. And another nafkamina, Rav Acha Bar Rabba, Amar La Omer Harei Alai Ola Kola Sheikriv Yisrael BeMidbar. Another nafkamina for us would have very little application, but let's say I commit myself to bring a carbon. And which carbon do I want to bring? I would like to bring, as my own personal neder, the same type of carbon that the Jews brought when they were at Mamad Har Sinai, the same type of Ola. Okay, so now obviously, for me, it has halachic relevance because I need to know which animal do I bring. Do I bring a keves or do I bring an ola? Okay. Second afkamina. So, my parim havu, my parim havu, uksavim havu, teku. And the Gemara says, okay, and now that we ask the question, answer, the Gemara says, unresolved. Tishbi Yataris. Tanan Hasam, Eilu Dran Shem Lashur. Okay, the first mission in Peah. Now, despite the fact that we have not learned Masechta Peah together, but we all know the first mission in Peah. Immediately after we say Birchas HaTorah every morning, so you look in the Siddur, and the Siddur then quotes a Mishnah from Peah, a Braisa, and then, first we say a Pasuk in Torah, right? Birchas Kohanim. Then we say the Mishnah in Peah, and then we say a Braisa. You know why we do that? Well, the simple reason why we do that is because each one of them deals with Limud HaTorah, right? The Mishnah in Peah, Eilu Dvarim She'en Lahem Shiur, right? And what's the last thing that's mentioned in the Mishnah in Peah? Talmud Torah. Okay, so that's why we say it immediately after Birchas HaTorah. Also, why do we do those three right after Birchas HaTorah? Another simple explanation, because after Birchas HaTorah, you want to quickly, in other words, you just made a bracha on learning Torah. So, you want to learn Torah. So we quote a pasuk in Chumash, Torah Shebichsav. Then we quote a Mishnah, the first Mishnah in Peah, and then we quote a Braisa. So basically, we have now covered every aspect of Torah, Torah Shebichsav, and Torah Shebaal Peah, both a Mishnah and then a Braisa. Okay. So we all know the Mishnah in Peah. Do we all understand the first Mishnah in Peah? That's a different story. So good. That's what we get from the Daf Yomi. We at least now we get to have some basic understanding of the first Mishnah in Peah. Eilu Dvarim She'en Lahem Shiur, the Mishnah in Peah says these are the things that have no amount, no set amount. The Torah does not describe an amount. Number one, Peah. Set aside a corner of the field for the poor. Corner of the field could be a small corner, a big corner. How much should it be? Torah does not give a shear. Okay. By the way, the Chachamim gave a shear for many of these things, but the Torah doesn't give a shear. Number two, Bikurim. Okay, again, I hearken back to last week's Parsha. So last week's Parsha, we'll learn about the mitzvah of Bikurim. How much first fruits do you need to give? Once again, no shear. Right? The Torah just simply describes as voracious called Pri HaAdama, but no shear. Re'ayon, the mitzvah of Re'iyah. Now, carefully consider, what are we talking about when we say the mitzvah of Re'iyah? We've already broached this question on the first day of the Masechta. Are we talking about the mitzvah of being seen in the Azara? Or are we talking about the mitzvah of the Ola? Or maybe we're talking about a combination of the two. Stay tuned. Next, Gemilas Chesed, Gemilas Chasadim. Right, being kind to other people. No shear in the Torah. No minimum amount, no maximum amount. And finally, Talmud Torah, the mitzvah of learning Torah. No shear in the Torah. Okay. Amar Rav Yochanan. Okay, good. That's the Mishnah in Peah. So Amar Rav Yochanan, Kisvurim Anu Lomar Hare Ayon Ein Lo Shir Lamala Avajesh Lo Shir Lamata. So Rav Yochanan says, here's what we thought. We all thought the Mishnah in Peah says there is no limit. Now, whenever you talk about limits, right, we do this in math a lot. Whenever you talk about limits, you could talk about the smallest amount, and you could talk about the maximum amount. So what Rav Yochanan says is that when we thought there were no limits, we assumed that in terms of the mitzvah of Re'iyah, there is a minimum amount, there's just no maximum amount. That's what we thought. Why? Because the first Mishnah in Chagiga. In other words, what started us in our Masechta, where it says, how much does one need to pay for the Olas Re'iyah? Okay, Machlokes Beisham and Beisel. One Ma, two Ma Kesef. Okay, but in other words, that's what we thought. Rav Yochanan says, but we were corrected. Achabar Rabbi Yoshe Berebi. V'limen Arayon En Lashir Lolamala V'Lolamata. In truth, the Torah does not give any shear, any amount that one has to spend on the carbon, neither a maximum nor a minimum. But the Chachamim say one ma'akesef for the Re'iyah, for the Olas Re'iyah, and Chagiga Shtei Kesef, and two for the Chagiga, which by the way, thank you for reading my mind, which by the way is Beis Hillel, meaning that obviously, I mean, Rav Oshia adopts the, when he says over the Halach, he adopts the position of Beis Hillel. Good. And so now we make full circle, and you go back all the way to the Mishnah on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, where the Mishnah introduces us to the Machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And you remember Rashi back there? Rashi said that even though we're talking about minimum amounts that one needs to spend on these karbanos, Rashi says this is not min haTorah, but rather this is min haChachamim. How did Rashi knew that? Because when Rashi was writing his parish on the Mishnah, Rashi was already fluent with all the Gemaras involved. And it's this Gemara right over here that says that this is, Rav Yochanan thought that this was a minimum in a Torah, but then corrected, it's not Minatorah, it is a Shir Minachachamim. Okay. Let's continue. Ma Hare Ayon. Okay, and now as long as we are in this Mishnah Peah, let us ask a really simple question. What's the Mishnah talking about? Meaning we generally know what the Mishnah is talking about when it says that there is Re'ayon has to do with the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, but specifically what is it talking about? So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Rias Panim Bazara and Reish Lakish Amar Rias Panim Bikarban. So the Machlokis is which aspect of Re'ah we're talking about. Rabbi Yochanan says we're talking about Rias Panim, meaning being seen in the Azara. How often does one need to go into the Azara? So Rabbi Yochanan says that's exactly what the point of the Mishnah and Peah. No limit. No limit, meaning you go once, you go twice, you go three times. You can, on Yantiv, you can go as many times as you want, and each time would be counted as a mitzvah. And then, important, let's take a look at Rashi. So Rashi writes, the Rav Yochanan Amar Rias Panim Bazara. So Rashi is a little bit lower than what we are in the Gemara. Kama Panim Shu Chafetz Ba. You go in as many times as you want. Omar Atzma Bazara, and you appear on the Azara. The Ain Tzarech Lavi Karban B'chol Re'iyah V'Re'iyah. And the way Rashi understands the position of Rav Yochanan is that then every time you come in, that's it. The Torah does say Lo Yiru Panai Re'kam. Don't come see me empty-handed. The first time, yeah, which the Gemara is about to articulate. That first time. But after that point in time, you can go in empty-handed, meaning and it counts towards the mitzvah. That sheet is Rav Yochanan. Reish Lakish Amar, Rias Panim Bekarban, and Reish Lakish says, no, every time you show your face in the Azara on Yantiv, you have to bring a karban with it. Meaning, according to Reish Lakish, it cannot be the mitzvah of Re'iyah without Ola. The two are co-joined. So the Gemara now goes on to explain. The Ikar Rego Kolam Alo Pliga De Rias Panim Bekarban. Gemara says, Ikar HaRego Rashi explains that to mean the first day of Yantiv. On the first day of Yom Tov, when you go into the Azara, so it is, there's no debate. You go in there, and you must bring a carbon. So, keep Ligi B'Shar Yom HaSarego, we're talking about now about the subsequent days. Kol Hecha Da'asa Ba'aisei, Kulei Amalo Pligi De'Mekabla Minei. So now, if you go in, and you bring a carbon, for sure the Kohanim take it from you. Keep Ligi Da'asa Ba'aisei. So, the debate between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish goes like this. You on the first day of Yom Tov, you came in, you brought your carbon. Good. Now, you come in on subsequent days. And now, Rav Yochanan Savarias Panim Bazar Dechalemas Da'asi Lo Tzarech La'asuye. According to Rav Yochanan, you have the right, and it's a mitzvah, to just simply walk into the Azara on subsequent days. And you don't have to bring a carbon. Reish Lakish Amarias Panim Bekarbon Dechalemas Da'asi Tzarech La'asuye. And Reish Lakish says, no. When you come in on subsequent days, it's not enough just simply to walk into the Azara, but you must walk in into the Azara with a carbon. Otherwise, state according to Reish Lakish, it's simply not a mitzvah unless you have a carbon in tow. Eisvei Reish Lakish L'Rav Yochanan, and now Braisos. So Gemara is going to quote, I think, three successive Braisos, where it's going to sound a lot like Reish Lakish. That on Yontif, every time you walk into the Azara, you must have carbon in hand. So, Ezer, Reish Lakish, Rav Yochanan, Velo Yerupanai Reikam. Okay, so the first is not a Braisa. The first is what's called a Pasuk in the Torah. Okay, that is excellent proof. And the Pasuk says, Velo Yerupanai Reikam. Do not see me empty-handed. Sounds like you want to come into the Azara, that's great. You come in with a carbon. So, Amir Lebikar Regal. Okay, so Rav Yochanan's defense, and get used to this because we're going to hear a lot of this. You're right. The pasuk does say you have to.
Shalosh pa'im, it says, though. The part of the pasuk is Shalosh pa'im.
Right, and that. Correct. And right. Shalosh pa'im means on every. Right, and each of the yontifs.
Right.
Yeah. Right, you're right. No. Okay, good. Look, we're going to defend Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan saying his defense. Good. On the first day, you'll bring a carbon. That's lo yerupanai reikam. After that, you can come in. Ezev, lo yerupanai reikam, bezvachem atomer, bezvachem oen ala be'ofos, umenachos. Now, it says don't come in empty-handed. Okay, fine. How about this? How about I come into the Azara, And instead of bringing an animal, which, as we just learned, it could cost a little bit of money, I'll get a bird. Bird could be brought as a karban, or better yet, I'll get a mincha. Mincha could also be an offering. It is an offering. So maybe, instead of an animal, I'll substitute it with a bird or with a mincha. Okay. Okay, so the Gemara says no. Because look, it's got to parallel what we're bringing for ourselves. What are we bringing for ourselves? Shlamim. Now, why is it inconceivable that what we're going to bring for ourselves is not an oaf and not a mincha? That's easy. An oaf doesn't come as a shlamim. Oaf can only come in one of two karbanos. Either an ola or a chatas. So obviously we can't bring a shlamim as a bird. What about a mincha? Hagam. No shlamim comes as a mincha. Shlamim only comes from an animal. So just like for us it's going to be an animal, the ola for Kadosh Baruch Hu is also going to be an animal. The afari amor legavor zvachim mahin zvachim ola sata. I'm sorry. Ola sata omer ola soena el shlamim. So the Gemara says, okay, well maybe like this. Maybe every time we come in we can bring a shlamim. So the Gemara says, v'dinu nemer chagiga lehejor v'nemer ri'i legavor. Ma chagiga amor lehejor b'ri'i lo afari amor legavor b'ri'i lo. So the Gemara says no, because again everything has to be specific to the to what we're discussing. Meaning when we're talking about our carbon, so our carbon can be a shlamim. Makes sense. We're going to eat from it. When we talk about a Kadosh Baruch Hu's carbon, ola, because it all goes to him. Kaviyachol. V'chem edin shlo yishochan chamalei v'shochan rabcha kayam. And the Gemara says, and also just from an intuitive nature, it makes sense. Meaning that basically, right, I'm going to borrow a phrase that we saw back in Beitza, chasi lachem v'chasi l'Hashem. Right, meaning that what are we going to do? We're going to stuff ourselves and nothing for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, we got to split it. So what do we see from this Braisa? Again, it sounds like from the Braisa that you go into the Beis Hamikdash and you got to go in A with an animal, B carbon ola. Sounds like every time. Again, the defense of Rav Yochanan Amalei Beikar Regel. Okay, same defense. That Braisa is describing day one. Ikar haregel. Next, Ezer Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Amishal Shregel Amishal Nitzav Yisrael Laolos Laolos Beregel Bechag Amatzos Bechag Shavuos Bechag Sukkos three times a year. Ve'ein Nirin Chatzain Mishum Shenemar Kol Zechurcha. And don't come in only half. Meaning one can make the argument. Okay, I'm going to get a little bit personal for just a moment. I got a lot of kids. I'm going to bring all my kids in. How about this? Sukkos, I'll bring in my first four, and then Pesach, I'll bring the other four. Which the Gemara later on will say that you could have entered. That's a havamina. So the Gemara says ve'ein nirin rikain nemishum shenemar v'lo yupenei rikam. So don't come in with half your kids, and don't come in empty-handed. So again, the simple pshat would be that every time you walk in, you got to bring a carbon. And Amrlei, and again, at this point in time, we're familiar with the defense for Rav Yochanan, Be'ikar HaRegel. So the Gemara says, as a defense for Rav Yochanan, we're talking about the first day of Yontif. Okay. Eitzei Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. So, in three braces, Reish Lakish tried to prove his point, that every time you come in, you got to come in with a karban. And Rav Yochanan says no. And all three braces, Ikar HaRegel, the first day of Yontif. Next. We are now going to go in the other direction. Rav Yochanan is going to challenge Reish Lakish. Okay, Kadosh Baruch Hu, does he bring a carbon on Yantav? No. I know that question and answer was loaded, but the answer is no, he doesn't. So, afata bechinam. So, we're right, we emulate a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Gemara and Sota, Daf Yedalin. Right, that one we quote a number of times. So, mahu rachum afata rachum. In other words, we have to emulate a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So mahu bechinam afata bechinam. So elakol echad asav lo aisi deklam lo pliga de ayal meskaze v'nafik. So the Gemara finally concedes. I mean, can you imagine? We just quoted three brises that supported Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan defense. We quote one brisa, and now we have to rethink everything in defense of Rav Yochanan. Because what does this brisa say? Mahu bechinam afata mahu bechinam afata bechinam atem bechinam, meaning. We can come in empty-handed, that's okay. So now, after this brisa, we have to rethink everything. So the Gemara finally concedes. You know what? There is an idea that you can go into the Azara, and you can go in empty-handed. That's okay. So ki pligi de asa v'aisi. So the Gemara says, here's what's up for now, discussion slash debate between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Good. Now we know. Again, on the first day of Yontif, there's no debate. You got to come in on the first day of Yontif with a carbon. That's clear. Here's where now we lose the clarity. After the first day of Yontif, you now come in, day two, you already brought your Olas Riyah, you walk into the Azara. You want to come in empty-handed, by all means, we can all agree that that's fine. What if on day two you want to come in with an Olas Riyah after having already brought one? Are we now in the discussion of Baal Tosif? That's the machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan, Damar Riyas Panim, Bazar Riyas Panim, Hu De'ein Lashir, Halakarban Yesh Lashir. The carbon, that's a fixed amount. One carbon Olas Riyah. That's it. You want to bring another one? Not only don't you have to, you can't bring another one, because now you'll be in violation of Baal Tosif. And Reish Lakish Amar Riyas Panim Bekarban, Da'afilo Karbanami Ein Lo Shir. And Reish Lakish says no, because presumably, hopefully I'm explaining this correctly, the way Reish Lakish views the mitzvah of Aliyah is the mitzvah of Riyah plus Karban. That's the very definition of the mitzvah. And so therefore, even though you already brought a Karban on day one, you can continue doing so day two, day three, every day of Yantav. That is the way we're going to understand the machlokas. Eisvei, the Gemara challenges based on a brisa. Huka reglecha mi beis re'echa. The Gemara in Mishle, I'm sorry, the pasuk of Mishle says, Huka reglecha mi beis re'echa. Don't visit the Beis HaMikdash too much. Okay? Funny pasuk in Mishle. So the Gemara gives a very simple way to look at that pasuk. Hasan mechatas v'ashamos. The Gemara says, yeah, you know what that means? It means, don't behave in a manner that you're going to have to bring a carbon chatas and a carbon ashram frequently. That's what the pasuk of Mishle means. Look, on one hand we have one pasuk that says, be sparse in the way that you go into the Beis HaMikdash. And the pasuk in Tehillim says, listen, come and come often. So the Gemara says, ba'olos lo kashikam bechat, I'm sorry, ba'olos. Good, very simple. And on the side of bringing carbon chatas, carbon asham, try to avoid that as often as possible. Look, if you're obligated to bring, obviously you bring. But don't put yourself in a position where you need to bring a carbon chatas and a carbon asham. Ola shlamim, come often. Let's get to the two dots. The Gemara quotes a brisa, which basically is going to make the same point. The pasuk in Tehillim sounds like come often, and that's regard to olos and shlamim. The pasuk in Mishle, don't come that often. That's talking about chatas and asham. Okay, tomorrow where do we start? We start with that funny line in the Braisa. Don't think about bringing just half your family this Yantav and the other half the next Yantav. And tomorrow we're going to start off with what kind of havamin is that? That you're only going to bring half your family. Stop here. Rabbi Chanan ben Akash, Amar Tzakosh Baruch Lezak, Yisrael Aficha, Chir B'Mtar Mitzvah, Shanemar, Nay Chafetz HaMatzikoy, Yagdot Rav Yadir.